This Samuel again is the God kind of what? Of faith. So, last time, let me just quickly remind you, we established that there is natural faith of which every human being, there's no human being on earth that does not live by faith. Amen. For example, we say, for example, when the room is dark and you go to put on the switch, you have faith that when you press it, the light will come on. If you didn't, you won't press it. Amen. You have faith when you put on your jacket. You know, like when it's cold, a cold winter day. You put on your jacket. You have faith or the belief that when you step out with this jacket, you will not freeze. Yeah? When you sit on a chair, you have faith that the chair will not collapse. I mean, some chairs have collapsed before. Yeah? Some tables have collapsed. It's happened in this chair in the past. You know, some people were leaning on the table. That's why every time I said it, I check it. Double check it. But when you lean, you have faith. You don't need to be spiritual. It's just natural. So every human being lives by faith. Yeah? When you go to work and you put in your best, you have faith that that job will reward you with some salary. If you are doubting that maybe they won't pay my salary, you can't put in your best, can you? In like every day. So everybody, including the atheist, lives by faith. Hallelujah. When you put out your bean, you have faith that they will come and pay. Amen. Everybody lives by faith. That's how you are made. Hallelujah. But the difference between natural faith and spiritual faith is that natural faith is based on physical evidence. Yeah? Something that you've tested and proved. That's why they say seeing is believing. You've seen it physically. You've tested it. You've smelled it. You've felt it. You've handled it. So now you trust it. And that's right. That's right. That's correct. There's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely right. Yeah? It'd be foolish of you to just start trusting something you don't know. Amen? You can't trust something or someone you don't what? You don't know. Imagine you meet someone in the day, a stranger, you just say, trust me. The question is, why? Why? Amen? So evidence is the basis for your trust. And that's general definition. Amen? But now today we're not going to spiritual faith. You're already very familiar with natural faith. Amen? But spiritual faith is going to be based on what? Spiritual evidence. You see, the problem is this. Those who want to live in natural, they deny that something spiritual exists. That's why they're telling you that your faith is blind. No. What they really try to tell you is that they are blind. Hello? Listen to me again. Someone who is non-spiritual, who only lives in the natural, yeah, is spiritually blind. They cannot see spiritually. That's why they are telling you that your faith is what? Blind. It's because they cannot what? See what you see. They cannot hear what you hear. They cannot taste what you are tasting. So, a blind man, yeah, can deny that something exists because they cannot see it. So that is why, for the blind man, yeah, seeing is not believing. Because they can't see. Now, there are people who say they have faith, but they can't see. That faith is not faith. Yeah, the best is that it's hope. There's a very close relationship between hope and faith. Yeah? So if you are having faith on something, you don't have any evidence, no basis, yeah? No assurance, no conviction. You are just being optimistic. By the way, it's good to be optimistic. Please turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. It's good to be optimistic. Be optimistic. You don't want the negative person around you that everything is just, you know, negative. Yeah, that's not good at all. Is it good? No. It's good. But optimism is hope. Amen? But it's good. It's good. You can't say you're in faith and not have hope. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. and the conviction of things not seen. So there's a close association between faith and hope. Amen? But faith is stronger than hope. Hallelujah. Because faith is the assurance of hope. Amen? It's not enough for me to hope for something. I need what? Assurance. Hallelujah. What do I need? Assurance. Then I can go the distance. Are you with me? Are you with me? So now let's look at spiritual faith. Spiritual faith is not only Christian faith. There are people that believe in witch doctors. Yeah? Or voodoo. Or whatever other name is called. Yeah? I'm not here to tell you that voodoo is not real. Yeah? Voodoo can harm people. Voodoo can kill people. Yeah? It doesn't matter whether they're white or black. You understand? If it's potent, yeah? It can. Yeah? It is spiritual. It is not natural. Yeah? It's not based on natural principles. It's based on spiritual principles. And so, just in case you're getting consumed, confused. What is the power behind voodoo? It's demons. Amen? Let me tell you, let's just give you some insight. Yeah? Demons operate based on blood. They are blood sucking. So if a necessary sacrifice is given to them, no, let me just change it. Demons and fallen angels, yeah? They are powerful. You can't punch the devil with your physical hand. You're like, see, a boxer. You're going to box him out. Your hand will just go in and come on. Amen. Because they are spiritual kind. They are not physical kind. Are you with me? So, in their own makeup, they have power. If, like, you take a fallen angel, a demon, and a person, yeah, to have a wrestling match, the real man cannot overcome the demon. Because they are not the same kind. Does it make sense? One is spiritual kind. But that doesn't mean they can just do what they like. They operate by principles. They have boundaries. Just like you two, you have boundaries. You can't just decide now that you fly to heaven. Say, I'm just going to just shake my hand. You have boundary. Well, of course, if you have a personal jet. Amen? Anybody planning to own a personal jet in the future for their business? You can fly. Amen? They have boundaries. Yeah? According to the laws of God. They have boundaries. So, but they are powerful. So, if they are given the necessary, some necessary requirements are met, they will go and act on the behalf of the person that is summoning them. Let me stay there. I don't want to take you too much into that. I just want to let you understand that there is real power there too. Amen. But I want you to understand that a demon or even their chief, which is the devil, is nowhere as powerful as God. Because God created him. So when Satan rebelled against God, you know what God did? God took him. Yeah? Put him by the ear and the head and the ear. You know God can do that. Nobody can arrest you. Amen? Took him. I can't use an example now. I'll be in trouble. Pulled him and threw him down. You know Jesus said? He said, I beheld Satan fall like what? That's, I don't know, the force of God throwing down is like what? The speed of lightning. So he was thrown down at the speed of light. Amen? Amen? That's my own imagination. When he hit the heart, yeah? Chaos. The heart became what? Form, without form and what? Void. So I'm just giving that picture to understand that Satan is no match for God at all. At all. At all, at all. He's a created being. Yeah? It's limited in power. Amen? But that doesn't mean he doesn't have power. Please understand me. He has power, but it's limited. And I was explaining last week, faith is for you to understand that when you side with God, Satan is no match. Amen? If I want to overcome Satan, yeah, the key is not how much gymnastics I do. It's just make sure that I am siding with God. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Well, I'm say one with God is what? A majority. I'm on the Lord's side. Satan is no match. But when I walk away, God will not walk away from you. It is not consistent with his character. Hello? God's my father. I don't know about you. Talk to me. God is my father.
God's my father.
Hallelujah. That is secure. It's actually reassuring. Amen? So God will not walk away from me. He's a loving father. He's the best father in the world. You see, human fathers can fail, but not God. Human fathers can be selfish, they can be proud, but not God. Amen? He's the everlasting father. Hallelujah. He will not walk away from me. Amen? But I can walk away. Because it happened with the prodigal son. He was in the house. He was with the father. Yeah. But he decided that I want to do things my own way. Or another way to say that, I want to do as I like. Because I'm the chief prince. You know, I am now 18. Some people don't wait till they're 18. Once they're just 18, they want to do whatever they like. Some are not teen. They're an adult. They say, I'm an adult. I have the right. Sometimes you even know something is wrong, but I just want to do it because that is what I want to do. And no father of any father of anybody's father can stop me. Amen? So they walk away because they just want to please themselves. Yeah. It wasn't God that walked away. Please don't tell anyone's story. It wasn't God that failed. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. We'll go to open 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 13. I'll start from the last reading today. 2 Timothy 2:13. Because I feel many times a lot of Christians don't understand that verse. They just came over it as though it was not there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Who is ready? New King James, New Living, Amplified.
This is NLT. Is that
okay? Yes, NLT.
Verse 13, if yes. We are unfaithful, he remains faithful.
If we are what?
Unfaithful.
Hello, my young man. God bless you. I'm happy to see you. 2 Timothy 2, if we are what?
Unfaithful.
Who is he talking to there? Who was he writing to? Specifically, who was he writing to?
Timothy.
So in the context of knowing that Timothy himself was a pastor, who was he talking to in general? Believers.
Believers, yeah.
Yeah, he's not talking to unbelievers. Amen? He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to what? Believers. He's talking to me and you, or you and I. Please say, read again.
If we are unfaithful.
If we are unfaithful. Yes?
He remains faithful.
Yet, he remains what?
Faithful.
Why?
For he cannot deny who he is.
Please, just permit me. Read verse 12. Because one of the fun that going up as a Christian is that you will be doing yourself a lot of harm. For you just stay in one part of the Bible, put on a glasses that filters every other thing away. And all you want to hear is just that part. You are in deception already. Hallelujah. You see, to be sure you're not in deception, you should be able to read any part of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and be at peace. Yeah? Without having to wear glasses to filter out. Because why? It's the same God. Except God changed. Yeah? If God has never changed, I don't need to put on glasses to read the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it can be an integrated message without contradiction. Yeah? If I can see well. If I'm putting on glasses to filter, I can't see. I can't see. That's why I'm fitting that stuff. When any part of the Bible you read must fall into harmony without a special unnecessary explanation. Read verse 12. 2 Timothy 2:12.
If we endure hardship, we will reign with him.
So what is the Bible telling us there? It's telling you that even as a Christian, with all the faith you have, yeah, there are some hardship or suffering you will have to go through. Yeah?
is part of the plan. Amen? Because there's some maturity you cannot achieve if you don't find yourself behind that truck. Yeah? Amen? It's in the plan. It's a plan for growth. You grow. Yeah? Through going to some not outside all the time. I'm not saying you'll be permanently in that shape. No. That's not what the Bible is saying. But there are some things you will go through. But God will give you the victory. But most importantly, God will use it to develop you. Because I know what you want is the blessing. But what you understand is that your character, having good character, is part of the blessing. See, God gave you blessing. You don't have good character. You can't maintain the blessing. Ask your great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. God gave him the greatest blessing. There is nothing you are looking for that is better than paradise. Let me try. Anybody, what tell me your greatest dream, your widest dream. If you had all the money in the world, what would you do? Come on, shut. Come on. If you had all the money in the world, yeah, but you are given only 1 week to enjoy it. You're not that dying, but just, this is unlimited money, but you're only 1 week to access it. You'll still be alive after. So that's not the issue. What would you do? Come on, be honest. You're not on trial. This is just like fantasy world. 1 week, unlimited money. Yeah? But after that 1 week, you can't access the money again. You can't access it in cash again. You can't save it in cash. It will be collected. If it remains in cash, it will be collected back. You must spend it. Yes, so long it's not longer than yours. What will you do? No. Okay. I know they're trying to dribble me. Yeah? You can give it to someone, yeah, but they must spend it within that 1 week. Completely. It must never remain as cash.
Can you buy assets?
You can.
Okay. So yeah, get a building for Healing Springs Church.
Very kind.
Get a school in Nigeria that people can go for free.
Okay, yeah, you have only one of one. Just only, only one. One. Only one. Ah, only one. Yes. What will you do? That the purpose of this is to fulfill your widest dream. In fact, let me just complicate it. If you use the buy asset, it will be sold after the 1 week and the cash taken. The only thing that will not, this one is you must spend such a way that thing cannot be taken away from you. That it is no longer in your ownership. So you cannot use it for anything ownership. You just to spend it. What will you do?
I'll spend it by traveling.
Thank you. Just travel. Thank you. I like it. Yes, any other one? You can't keep it. You can't give another person to keep it. You can't buy an asset. You must spend it. The nature is that if you kept it, you can trace it back to you. They will collect it after the 1 week. What will you do? Come on, church. It's just a fantasy idea. What? Come on, young people. Come on. Are you not dreamers? Come on. It's good to dream. Amen. Nobody. Yes, one more. How much they move forward?
I think it's just to give it to a cause that you know that you'll be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one way or the other, directly or indirectly, it comes back to you. They might not be back in cash. It might be blessing. It might be, you know, it might be something free to take care of you for life.
Yeah. So you should bless somebody. Amen. The point I was trying to make is that God, yeah, in creating Adam, give him paradise. There's nothing you're looking for that is better than paradise. You know why? Because paradise is everything that you are wired to love. Amen? But Adam lost paradise. Yeah? Adam. Adam is man in his best state. Yeah? No DNA corruption. No genetic disease. No corrupted word to influence him.
He's the man in his best state, but he lost paradise. Yeah? Because he could not back it up with character. So that's why when you go to store, God is building your character. Yeah? And your character helps to maintain your blessing. Amen? So you say, my character helps to maintain my blessing. Hallelujah. Please, let's go back to our sister. Read it again. 2 Timothy 2, 12.
For if we endure hardship, we will reign with him.
We will reign with him.
If we deny him, he will deny us.
Can I just stop there and ask myself a question? I'm asking myself. So that means that if I refuse to endure what? It's too, I'm sorry, sir. I can't do this anymore. Start to murmur and complain against God. Because it's not moving some things quick as you will like. So according to that verse, if I don't refuse to endure, what will happen to me? I won't enter the glory. I won't reign. I will not. The glory is what God has already planned for you. Amen? You see, the glory that will change your life, the glory that will transform your life, yeah, is beyond your own plan. It's not you planning that glory. He has planned it because he's a good father. Amen? He has a plan for you, and that plan is glorious. Yeah? But you don't enter the glory on day one. Amen? That glory is beyond what your effort can do. There are some things your effort can do, but there are other things that only grace can do it for you. Hallelujah. You see, grace apportions it to you. Yeah? But the way God works is that when you apportion something to you by grace, yeah, you don't enter into it on the one. You enter the journey. Yeah? Because in your getting destination is building character. But if you refuse to endure hardship, you truncate that glory. Yeah? You start operating at duck level. He wanted you to operate at ego level. But you will resist yourself to what? Duck. You'll be the king of the ducks. Quack, 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 quack. You'll be happy. Thinking you have something. But you missed the glory. Hallelujah. Continue, please.
If we deny him.
That's where I was going to. If what? Read it, please.
If we deny him.
If we what?
Deny him.
What will he do?
He will deny us.
Am I any? Is this the Bible?
Yeah.
That's why when you read your Bible, you just say, "Sorry, I never was."
No.
Please, thank you, my son. Let me ask a question. What does it mean to deny someone or something? To deny someone. So you say, if you deny someone, what does it mean? That somebody denied. Like Peter denied Jesus. What does it mean to deny? Come on, young people here. Yeah? When they say someone denied me or he denied him. To deny someone, what does it mean? Hello?
Disown.
Hello? Disown. I just won't stop there. I like it. Please understand what the Bible is saying. He said, if we deny him, what will he do? That is faith. Because faith is trust. Amen. Faith and trust is relationship. Amen. Look, if you are in relationship with him and you are genuine, wholehearted, you don't have to be perfect. Because just like you are in any relationship, yeah, when things go wrong, because you are not perfect, what do you do? What do you do in a relationship when things go wrong? Because it just happened because you are not perfect. It wasn't intentional, or maybe it was intentional, but you realized your fault. What do you do? What did you do? What?
We pray.
Yeah, but before you pray, you pray. But in addition, what do you do in terms of the relationship to make it good? You say sorry. That's the way it works with your relationship with God, with Jesus. Yeah? You love Jesus. Yeah? He's number one. You trust him. You honor him. Yeah? And then you made a mistake or you did something wrong. Because you still love him. Because that relationship is value to you, you will say sorry and get back in line. To deny him means that you went your own way and you don't care. What the Bible says it will do to you? It will disown you. I just read the Bible to you. Amen? Hallelujah. And we disown you. That's why you read in the Bible, he said, sorry, I never knew you. Some say, it's because he never knew them. No, he disowned them. Because he said it there. He said, if we deny him, what will he do? He will deny us. Now, finally, if we are unfaithful, yet he remains faithful. Let me explain that. We're talking about faith. I know that I'm teaching faith in a different way, but it's right. There's a lot of corruption and adulteration. Faith is not just about how to get more money. Yeah? It's part of it, but it's really about relationship with God, which is the foundation for any other blessing. I try to teach faith that when God gives you spiritual blessing, it will invade every problem in your life. You see, Joseph, he has spiritual blessing. They sold him into slavery. Spiritual blessing is still speaking. He became the head of the slaves. Amen? Yeah? Potiphar's wife threw him into dungeon. Spiritual blessing is still speaking. He became the head of Pharaoh's prison. Then they forgot him in prison. You know what happened? Yeah? Because of Joseph, God gave Pharaoh a dream. Pharaoh does not know Joseph from Adam. Yeah? He doesn't even care about any Joseph anywhere. Who is Joseph? In Pharaoh's palace. But God caught Pharaoh's attention. Gave him a dream that troubled him. Amen? All the wise men in Egypt was the America of that day. All the wise men in Egypt, yeah, could not interpret Pharaoh's dream. But again, I have a feeling, but that's just me. I may be wrong. Because Pharaoh was so powerful, he has to learn wise men. And because in this particular case, he remembered the dream. So there was another case that the king did not remember the dream. But in this case, he did. And he would have told them. I don't believe on the human level that those wise men did not try to interpret it. But their interpretation did not satisfy Pharaoh. Yeah? Because this is a divinely instigated dream. That we find no satisfaction until there is a divinely instigated interpretation. There is no way Pharaoh will ever be satisfied until Joseph comes out to interpret it. That spiritual blessing. When spiritual blessing is operating you, a human being cannot overshadow it. Your light will shine. Amen. You see, when you have spiritual blessing, no matter how much you try, yeah? The light will shine. It will prevail. So long you don't deny him and say, no, I'm doing it my own way. Hallelujah. So when Joseph came, yeah, and interpreted the dream, Pharaoh found satisfaction for his soul. Amen. Pharaoh said to Joseph, he said, so who is going to be, what's the solution? Joseph said, look, find a wise man. Find a wise man who can help you take care of this kingdom so that they will manage the time of plenty so that when the time of famine comes, you'll not be in poverty. Yeah? This is the grand finale. So first say, who is that wise man? Yeah? God is like putting the spiritual gift into Pharaoh, an unbeliever, to understand that there's no wise man apart from what? The chosen one. The one that has spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. Joseph was sold into slavery when he was like 17 years. This event happened in Joseph's life when he was 30 years. I'm talking about a journey of faith. It's faith. It's faith. It is faith to stay faithful when things are unpleasant. Hello? Joseph's journey is a journey of faith. He is sold into a foreign land. He ought to be bitter. His brother sold him. His coat of many colors. Yeah? He was stripped of it. He ought to be what? Bitter. He ought to go there and commit all forms of idolatry and immorality. How will you allow this to happen to me, Lord? But he stayed what? Faithful. Until the time that his word came. Psalm 109. The word of the Lord tried him. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. So 17 to 30. He was moving from slavery to dungeon. Amen? Hallelujah. But in one day, his story changed. Yeah? In one day, he interprets the word. In one day, he becomes prime minister of Egypt. In one day, he got a wife, a beautiful wife. Hallelujah. A beautiful wife. Can check her name in the Bible. I've forgotten. It says, beautiful wife. I can see it in my spirit. It was a beautiful, lovely woman. In one day, he didn't even have to propose. Hallelujah. Who did it? That is the work of grace there. But his faithfulness ensured that he entered grace. Grace is a divine provision. But we access grace by faith. Amen. We access grace by faith. So I need to go back and define faith. But I really wanted to show you that. Let me explain that part before you go to the kitchen. So that you can be a Mary and not a Martha. Amen. You see, he said, if we are unfaithful, or to be unfaithful is to be faithless. It doesn't matter how much faith you're telling me you have. Say, I have faith. My confession is my possession. You know that type of faith. My confession is what? My possession. You know how to confess. Yeah? That is still small level. It's small level because that is a popular statement. So you can catch the one down one quickly. If you have faith, you will be faithful. You will stay the course. You will persevere. You will run the race to the finish. That's faith. Hallelujah. If you draw back, drift off, you are showing that you are faithless. Doesn't matter your confession. Hallelujah. Now, it says, if we are unfaithful, this is what I'm keeping you for, yet he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. Now, when God, the Bible says God is faithful, he's not saying that he remains faithful to you. He said if you deny him, you deny him. So if you are unfaithful, he can't be faithful to you. He is faithful to who he is. For example, God said, I'm going to save 1,000 people in business. Then he called you. So I'm busy. My job. In fact, I'm planning to become the assistant director in 5 years' time. So I can't do it. You have been unfaithful. Yeah? But that doesn't mean that plan of God will fail. Amen? Because he remains faithful, his plan cannot fail. It's just you that lost out. He will find somebody else. Hallelujah. That's what it means. It means that God cannot deny himself. God cannot stop being righteous. God cannot stop being holy. If God told you that to be holy, you refuse to be holy. He will not stop being holy because of you. Even if you have a mega church and you are the most popular pastor in town, do you think that changes who God is? He said, I don't know you. I don't know your people. He will remain who he is. He will stick to his purpose. And because he's a patient and loving God, he will find somebody who will do it. That's what it means that he's faithful. So that means I understand that. If I understand the faithfulness of God, I know that my best deal is to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Then I can enjoy his faithfulness. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. That if you want to enjoy God's faithfulness, remain on his side. Then he will fight for you. Yeah, because he's like a business partner. He will fight for you. And you will hold your peace. You can go. Hallelujah. So now let's look at what faith is and then we begin to round off. So go back now to Hebrews 11 verse 3. So you can already see from what I've said, and I'm aiming to round up within 9 minutes now by 11:40. What I'm really trying to show you is that the God kind of faith is based on understanding who God is. His character. Yeah? And siding in with him. The evidence behind the God kind of faith is God. Is the reason, is the basis for your belief. Hallelujah. If I don't know God, I don't have a basis for having faith in God. Amen. Because somebody will come to you and say, but God.
You have not seen him. Yeah? So it's not real. No, 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 they lied. That's the lie of the devil. The fact that you cannot see something doesn't mean it's not real. Hello? The fact that you cannot see something does not, because seeing is not the only sense organ. Amen. You may not see something, but you may feel something. Hello? Have you ever felt pain in your... What? Have I felt pain in the past? No. I feel pain in your knee before. Did you see that pain? Does it mean it's not real? If you are playing football and somebody, you know, hit you, do you actually see the pain? But does it mean it's not real? Hallelujah. Seeing is not the only sense organ. You may not see something, but you can feel it. Amen. You may not feel something, but you can smell it. You may not smell something, but you can taste it. You may not taste it, but you can hear it. They are all information. They are all evidence. Hallelujah. I don't have to see God to know that He's real. I can experience Him. Hallelujah. And when I experience Him, He's real to me. Hallelujah. Say what you say, when I experience God, He is real to me. That's it. See, and when you know, you better than that. You don't know Him. You are blind. You know, I'm looking for a generation of believers. Who people will tell them, say, your faith is blind. I say, no, no, my faith is not blind. You are blind. Because that is the truth of the matter. It's okay that it's blind to you because you are spiritually blind. You can't see. And that will not change until you humble yourself. You see, you don't get to, I find out as I go spiritually, that you don't get to see. Your humility defines your ability to see spiritually. Because the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, it said, God resists what? The proud. But He gives grace to the humble. People are making mistakes. They are seeking grace every other means. Sir, just lay hands on me. I want grace. Yeah? No, if you want grace, yeah? Humble yourself before God. When you humble yourself, you begin to hear more clearly what God has to say. Yeah? Because what is stopping from hearing clearly is you are distracted with your pride, your ego, your selfishness, your materialism. It's blocking your eyes. You can't see. Hallelujah. When you humble yourself, the things that look very complicated, they become simple. Sometimes when you humble yourself, yeah, the problem that looks unsolvable, God will just open your eyes. And you will just see something. It may be one tiny thing you can do differently. Just the tiniest adjustment. Just one thing. You just do it differently like this. And you see a good result. But you can never see that tiny adjustment if you don't humble yourself. Yeah? Because when you humble yourself, God pours grace on you. Hallelujah. God pours grace. Please remember that. Remember that. For example, like, if you are walking, yeah, you may be busy. Yeah. But humility means that you don't play with the time you want to spend with God. When you don't have time for God, you are being proud. You think that you can achieve it. You think you are something. Well, maybe for men you are something, but not before God. He made you. You know, it's something, it's just a little, God forbid, something just little goes wrong in your brain. Something that was supposed to flow in one part. Do you know, just even a tiny clot, I'm not a doctor, but correct me if I'm wrong. A tiny clot, so blood, that blood vessels in your brain. Just a tiny clot in one can shut you down. And according to God's grace, yeah, your brain is working. Hallelujah. So it's because I work there. I'm very intelligent. What is intelligence? Intelligence is blood flowing through your brain. No blood. No what? No intelligence. Amen? And that you did not pay for. It's grace. Because why you know it's grace is that there are some other people that are in the hospital because the blood refused to flow. Hallelujah. And why do you think you are better than them? Who knows whether you've even done worse things than them? Amen? So, humility means that I don't mess with what belongs to God. Amen? That's the first principle God taught man after making him. Yeah? He set apart the first day of man. And said, keep the other one for me. Amen? Ratio 1 out of 7. Please understand what I'm going to explain to you. That being on the Lord's side means that I put him first. Amen? The first day of man, he was created on the 6th day. Bible said that on the 7th day, God what? Rested and blessed it. And said, be hallowed. Think about it spiritually. It means that the first day that man will operate, yeah, is operating in the level of putting God before he begins the business of his life. He has to first put God first. So in humility, I don't mess with just time. It's God's time. I'd rather not take my son, yeah, to his keyboard lesson than miss church. Amen. I'm ever so keen to prove to God that keyboard lesson is not as important. Hey, that's me. That's my mindset. It's a crazy mindset. I agree, but it's good. Amen. I want to tell God, the Lord, you know what? I like the keyboard, but it's not as important as the time I spend in church. If I'm to choose between them, yeah, I throw that one in the bin. And honor God. I'm telling you that you are more important. Because I understand that what I need is spiritual blessing. I don't know what you need, but what I need is what? Spiritual blessing. You see, in spiritual blessing, you may make a mistake, fall into trouble. It's one way or the other. But spiritual blessing will rescue you. Amen. Someone will favor you who should not naturally favor you. Yeah? Can you imagine? You are guilty, but somebody still helps you up. That's spiritual blessing. Amen. So that's faith. Faith is putting God first. Hello. Now let me quickly round up. Let me see what I'm doing. How much time? Because I promised you, I have to keep my promise. I'll have to round up within a minute. Okay? We'll open to Hebrews 11:6. Let's give you just a little definition of faith. We will do a part 3, then I'll leave it for now. Hebrews 11:6. Let's read it and I will explain it. So you know, we're looking at the God kind of faith now, obviously. I'm not talking about natural faith. I'm not talking about general spiritual faith, the type of witchcraft and voodoo. I'm talking about the God kind. See, natural faith is easier. Because you can see, you can undo what you are trusting. Yeah? Voodoo faith and witchcraft is easier. If you go to a witch doctor and say, "That my friend, I don't like her face. Can you give me something to kill her?" They won't ask you any questions. Yeah? They will just give you, "Can kill her." They don't care about the destiny. They don't care whether she's right or you are wrong or whatever. They are always on your side. It's easier. Because see, you can't, if you ask God that one, you're in trouble. He will take you on a long journey of transformation. He may even tell you now that what you need to do now is now your salary. Go and give 10% to her. Can you do that? But God can tell you that. You know, God can tell you that. Because he's righteous. Amen. Deuteronomy 32:4, he said, "Ascribe greatness to our God. His work is perfect. All his ways are just." So, the God kind of faith is the highest kind. Yeah? But it's not as easy. Because it's based on the character of God. So, Hebrews 11:6, let's do that and then we finish. Hebrews 11:6. Yes, thank you.
"And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him."
Amen. I will explain this a little today, and then I'll leave it there. I'll pick it up next week, next time. When I do part 3, let me explain faith. We're explaining faith. See, when I was growing up as a Christian, when I read Hebrews, I've memorized Hebrews 11:6 for more than 35 years. Amen. I love it. Amen. More than. But all I ever saw in Hebrews 11:6 was, without faith, it is impossible to
Praise God. I didn't understand that. Actually, the statement that came after was defining to us the God kind of faith. So, you know, sir, without faith, you can't please God. Now, to help you have faith, let's define to you what faith is. Anyone that comes to God must believe that what? Do you understand what I mean? It means that I must see God in everything and everywhere. If someone give me a dirty slap, before I respond, let me first see God. That's faith. You understand? If I'm feeling irritable, before I begin to dishonor the people that God has put in God's authority over my life, I must see God. If I say now I'm going to, because this person did not do, I'm going to do this, but am I seeing God? Because if I go ahead and do this, I've assumed God is not there. I'm not in faith. If I'm going to be in faith, I must see God in everything. The way I treat my wife, the way I treat my children, the way I treat church, the way I treat my pastor, the way I treat my boss, I must see God. If I don't see God, I'm not in faith. He who comes to God, faith 101, must believe that God, what? Is. You understand? Now, when I really believe that God is, the right response, yeah, is honor. Amen. Imagine if God was here now. If Queen Elizabeth, oh, she's gone. Okay. King the Third. Is it the Third? You're not sure? Find out. As homework after this. If it comes there now, we'll just be doing whatever you're doing. Why? You see him. It changes the way you behave and the way you live. That's right. Amen. It means that also when I'm in trouble, yeah, they saw the Red Sea. They saw the Egyptian army. But for a miracle, they must see God. So when they pray, say, stand still and see what God will do. Amen? So you have to understand that it's not just the Red Sea that is there and the Egyptian army. God is also here. How did God give a miracle? He just said, Moses, take your rod. And what did he do? Did he need a bulldozer or caterpillar? Just strike it. Boom! Boom! Hallelujah. That's faith. You see God. You're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. Hallelujah. When sickness and this shows up, yeah, you understand that the doctors are just trying their best. But the only person that can fix you totally is the one that made that body. Hallelujah. He can fix it in one moment. Amen. That thing that is troubling you, yeah? In one moment. Yeah? In one moment, he can live your life. Hallelujah. See God. See God. Don't let that sickness look bigger than God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's rise up and pray. Let's just leave it there. I believe that God has spoken to you, has blessed you. Now what you want to do is to be a doer and not a hearer only. The difference between a false believer and a true believer is that the false believer will hear, but they will not do. But the true believer will go ahead and do and produce fruit from the word they've heard. They then that they're a true believer, they're a faithful hearer. Hallelujah. And that's what I want you to pray. Pray in it now. God. You know, I don't know if you are there and all you've ever done is just play religion. You know, you are coming to church like you are taking a bob. Why wouldn't you talk to her and say, God, I mean business with you. This is my life. I don't know if that feels the same to you. But my relationship with God is my life. And I'm not saying because I'm a pastor. Actually, I became a pastor because it's my life. So God said, Lord, my faith in you is my life. My life hangs on it. I'm in business. I'm in business with you. That's why I say you are my father. It's not for label. It's not like a label. I mean business. So today, I acknowledge you that you are for real. I see you. And I honor you. Every part. I say every part. I honor you. I put you first. Number one. You know that the whole Bible can be summarized in the first commandment. Because that's the nature of God. If God's going to give you the number one contains everything. That shall have no other gods before me. It is that it contains the whole story. Hallelujah. Number one, it will be that God is. You put him first. That way you have enlisted him. You have moved yourself to his side. That's faith. You have enlisted him. He who can do what no man can do. You have enlisted him to be your partner in everything, whether good or bad. Thank you. Thank you, because God kind of faith is the highest level. The same faith that created the whole world from things that cannot be seen. The same faith that can change physical things. The same faith that can invade witchcraft power, voodoo power, whatever power. Because this is super power. So Father, we renew ourselves in that relationship. To put you in your rightful place and to relate with you accordingly. Knowing fully well that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.